The People vs. Happiness presents... Welcome to Clearing Up the Past. That's right. It's this year's The People vs. Happiness Thanksgiving episode as Clearing Up the Past. Last year we did the concession counter, Chris Casey and myself, and this year it's going to be Aaron and I doing the Thanksgiving episode. So welcome, Aaron. How are you doing? You feeling happy?
I am feeling happy. It's been a nice weekend and I've got a short work week coming up, so I am happy.
Nice. I guess the question that I really need to be asking you is, are you feeling thankful?
I am feeling thankful. That's a good question. Are you?
We'll dive deeper into that one here in a little bit, but got some ideas for this episode. You know, it's going to be, I'm not going to lie to you, it's going to be kind of weird. We've been deep into Clash of Fans for the last, I don't know what, 8 episodes, something along the lines of that. So this is going to be, you know, unscripted, unformulaic. I don't know if I can podcast like this anymore. We'll see what happens.
It does feel a little strange, I admit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, right off the top, I don't know if you heard me pouring myself a drink, but I do want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Kartik's Special Purple Blend. Do you like the feeling of grapes in your mouth that kind of confuses you, but is still kind of smooth and gets you a little fucked up? Enjoy Kartik's Special Purple Blend on shelves now.
You know, I almost bought one, and I legitimately think it was called Purple Rain. That was some kind of wine. I should have bought. I'm going to get that for the next episode.
You absolutely should.
Yes.
You absolutely should.
Right now I've got some Red's Wicked, though, which is delightful. So
I'm not sure I'm going to admit to what I'm drinking. I thought it was going to be purple, and honestly, I did that for the bit at the top of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's bright blue. And it's probably going to give me cancer or at least take off 1 or 2 years of my life. But you know what? It's Thanksgiving, so.
Cheers, yeah.
Cheers. So, what are we going to talk about today, Aaron? Here's what I'm thinking. I'd like to check in on you with the Clash of Fans. I mean, that's been a big part of our lives lately, so
yes.
How can we not check in on that? But of course, I mean, it's the Thanksgiving episode, so we're going to talk turkey, baby.
All right.
So we will talk Thanksgiving. We're going to talk, some of our childhood favorites versus how we are today. And mine might be a little boring, according to some people, because I eat a lot different than I did when I was a child. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that a little bit. We've got some questions from our fellow co-hosts and judges, or I guess I should really say co-contestants and judges on the Clash of Fans. So we'll be asking those and answering those and, you know, just generally shooting the shit and seeing what you want to talk about, what I want to talk about beyond that. So kind of a getting back to the basics a little bit for the People versus Happiness. I'm kind of excited about it and kind of terrified at the same time.
I think it sounds fun.
Yeah. No, I do too. I do too. It's been a long time since we've done this. So if nothing else, it'll be just fun catching up with you without having to worry about damn Anderson.
And not having to prepare. I like this kind of just come as we are, talk about whatever.
Only reason I said that about damn Anderson is because I edited the episode that you and Anderson did, which was General Zod. Versus Jareth from the Labyrinth. Go back and listen. We won't tell you who wins. Go listen if you haven't listened to it. But I realized I wasn't the nicest to Anderson.
I don't think you're mean to Anderson.
I wouldn't say that I was mean to him, but I don't know. I was really feeling some of your arguments, and I kind of was kind of just being like, well, Anderson, let's see if you can do anything to that.
Yeah, and I've been on the other side of that. So it's tough, but you know.
Well, Aaron, you're probably going to lose. So try your darndest, you cute little thing, you. Yep. Okay, well, and you know, we're already starting to talk about it, but let's check in on Clash of Fans. So we just finished up episode 8 of Clash of Fans, which brought us through episode 52 of the People versus Happiness. No, episode 51 of The People versus Happiness. This is episode 52 of The People versus Happiness, this Clearing Up the Past episode. So we've done four episodes of protagonists and four episodes of antagonists, which really, that puts us right at the halfway mark. Yeah, halfway through round one, which, I mean, things will speed up from there because you guys will do your last selected characters, then you'll do your randomly selected characters, then it's on to round two, and that's going to go quick compared to round one, and then, you know, from there, it's semifinals and then finals, the final, so.
Wow.
You know, I know we talked about how this is going to take forever and we're going to be doing this series for a long time, but I'm actually, even with our week off, I'm really surprised that it's going as quickly as it is. So, it'll be done before you know, and we'll have to think of a new concept for The People versus Happiness. But how are you feeling so far? What do you think about the competition? You know, I'm here to ask the hard hitting questions. So, first, give me kind of how you're feeling, and I got some follow-up questions for you.
Well, I feel like we as a whole and me individually has kind of found our stride, mm-hmm. Or almost found our stride. Mm-hmm. You know, we lost Chris Casey at the beginning and brought in Anderson, so we kind of had that slight adjustment. Mm-hmm. But I think as contestants, we're kind of figuring out what the judges are looking for in each category. At least I feel that way. And there's a slight learning curve with anything new. So
yeah,
I think we're adjusting to everything.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
There's a lot to I've been learning. Like, I feel like no matter how much I feel like I know about a character with the research I do, and then going up against somebody else, there's always something new to learn, which I think that's kind of cool too. I've had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I think so. Which kind of brings me to what I want to talk to you about it. You know, learning seems to be a really important part of the competition because the judges have really responded well to you in particular, who have done a lot of research. On the opposite, we've seen where people have kind of been like, man, I'm not feeling this so much this week, or I've got kind of something going on in my life, so I don't have as much time to dedicate to the podcast. Two examples in particular, Kartik, when he did the gopher, you know, mm-hmm. he'll tell you otherwise. I know he will. He'll swear up and down, but he was not on point that night, and I know this for a fact. And then Anderson last week, which, again, I don't want to give spoilers, so, you know, do with that information what you will, had some moments that were a little weak because his week was dominated by his personal life. And, you know, obviously, if all we could do is podcast, that's all we'd ever do, and we could make a living that way, that would be amazing. But we can't. So, you know, again, this competition goes beyond just the categories and your character's strengths and weaknesses, and goes into your ability to be a good contestant, a good debater. And we've seen that. So talk to me a little bit about that and kind of your own experience, if you would.
I feel like I've experienced that some too, particularly the week that I was debating for Daniel LaRusso, the Karate Kid. Mm-hmm. I had some stuff going on that was distracting. And while I did do a lot of research, I felt like I was a little bit off my game for that episode too. So life definitely gets in the way. I mean, that's just how it is, but I don't know. I kind of feel like it depends on your character too.
Yeah.
And who you're going against. Because while Kartik may have had an off week, he had the gopher against Darth Vader. So he's a hell of a debater, but I don't know that he could have won against Darth Vader with the gopher anyway.
Yeah, I kind of feel
there's a lot of variables.
Sure. No, I agree with that. I do kind of feel like while Kartik did not lay down, I do feel he also didn't bring his A game just for that exact reason too. It's kind of a, you know, pushing a boulder up an endless hill type of a situation. And he did what he could, but in the end, it's, you're only going to get so far. So I agree with that. I do agree with that. But I do want to ask you, here's where I put my Barbara Walter hat on and ask you the hard-hitting question. And, you know, you might not be comfortable with this, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I'm your little brother. And you know what? This is what we do. Just what we do. It is. You almost quit on me. Let's talk about that a little bit. We had Chris Casey quit, which granted he had a death in the family, but I really thought you were going to be the second contestant we lost. So you powered through. You did well after you kind of got your head back on your shoulders and started thinking about the competition in a different way. And I do still swear I think you're the most dangerous one. And I don't think you're underestimated. I think your competition realizes this, but I think you're definitely the sleeper agent here. You're the one that's going to just pop up and like slash everyone's throats and end up winning this thing. So tell me, why did you get to that point where you thought you were going to lose? Why did you get to that point where you thought you needed to quit?
I got frustrated. I felt like I was putting my heart and soul into my arguments and that either they were being misinterpreted, not heard correctly, or it didn't really matter what I said, that the judges, and I love them all, so I don't want to say anything bad about the judges, but I felt like they maybe had some preconceived biases, notions, whatever, towards the character, and that they were voting for the popular character in spite of any argument that I made.
Mm.
And again, it probably came back to life and some of the struggles that I was dealing with at the same time. So
yeah,
it just got frustrating.
I think so. Because, you know, re-listening to some of the episodes and whatnot, sure. You know, listening to some of the feedback that the listeners have, I get what they're saying here and there. But at the end of the day, I do think the judges have done a really good job, and it's a hard job. I've had to do it too. Yeah. You know, I've had to break ties and be a judge as well. And it's hard when you're like, damn, I just really like Jareth, or damn, I really like Gizmo, or whatever the case may be, and I want to see that character win. It's hard to vote against them. But we have seen time and time again, judges vote against the character that they really like because of the quality of the debate. And I think that you, particularly after deciding not to quit, which I'm sorry, I wasn't going to let you anyway, but
I'm glad I didn't.
No, I'm glad you didn't as well. But once you decided to stay in the game, I see a different style from you, or a different resolve anyway, where maybe you're not, you know, digging too deep into the characters, and you're more thinking of a larger picture debate style. And you've done some crazy stuff. I mean, you've listened to some of the reactions that you've gotten from me, and those are legitimate reactions, and from the judges as well. And it's not necessarily about who you're debating, but some of the stuff you can come up with sometimes, right?
Well, I appreciate that, because some of it I question so much. I'm like, I don't even know if I want to go here, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it worked for you. Yeah, it seems to be working for you. So keep it up on that aspect. But
thank you. And at the end of the day, we're here to have fun and talk about, you know, stuff we love and remember the 80s. And I did decide not to take it so seriously as well. So that helps a lot.
Well, the $100,000 prize money does put a lot of pressure on it. I did tell you about that, yes, right?
It does. You didn't know.
Oh, we'll talk offline. Never mind. Anyway,
okay.
The real reason we're here today is because this is the Thanksgiving episode. It's why I'm liberally drinking some foul looking stuff. It doesn't taste bad, but it looks like for sure I'm getting some kind of like food coloring poisoning or something right now.
Oh no.
Yeah. It's not quite the Kartik purple rare that I was hoping for, but which tells you sometimes, if it's lower than that quality, I'm not sure what I'm drinking, but we'll see what it does for the rest of my conversation. But like any good Thanksgiving, you're going to get a little schwilly, and you're going to talk about family, and you're going to talk about stuff, and then you're probably going to start fighting about it. So I'm really looking forward to getting into a fight with you about Thanksgiving. So let's start.
Well, I'm drinking too, so let's go.
So let's start there. I think that most people, not most people, but a lot of people, when they think about Thanksgiving, they think about their family fighting. It's supposed to be this thing where we come together and we have a really good time. But in the end, a lot of people end up fighting. It's a very popular thing in sitcoms. It's a very popular thing in drama and TV and movies to discuss that family can't be together and they end up fighting. Do you ever remember a Thanksgiving that you and I had in our childhood with our family where there was such a fight?
I don't, to be honest. Yeah, there's nothing I can think of. And I feel like a fight would stand out.
Yeah, I think so, too. Do you think it's because our family is just too polite to fight?
I think so. I don't feel like we were normal. Like growing up, I felt like we were normal. But looking back, I don't think we were. And that's not necessarily a good thing either.
No, but, no, because it ended up making us abnormal in other ways.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. No, that's the exact same answer I have. I actually thought about this a little bit earlier today. And when I thought about asking you that question, I couldn't remember it. I was really hoping you had something juicy, like Uncle So-and-so came over one time and said this shit and Mom threw like sweet potato casserole in his face and it like burned him and shit.
Yeah. I got nothing.
Okay. No gooey marshmallows burning off the flesh of our relatives. Okay. I've got nothing either. So maybe nope, that's, like that. I don't know if maybe that's a little more common for a lot of families that they don't actually fight, but I do feel like actually this year in particular, and again, not going to go down this road because we went down it a lot last episode, but especially with politics and stuff, I'm hearing people being like, I'm not going home for Thanksgiving because my parents, you know, support so-and-so. And so I can't even see them right now. And like, you know, it's like Hatfields and McCoy out here. Mm-hmm. So, but us, not so much. While y'all are Hatfields and I am the McCoys in a lot of ways, you know.
I'm in the middle. I don't think I'm either, but.
you're McFields. Ooh, is that a cookie?
Yes.
I think that's a cookie company.
It's a good thing to Fields be. Fields is, isn't it? Something is, yes. Yes.
Anyway. So, moving on to happier things then. What was your favorite dish for Thanksgiving as a child?
You know, I was thinking about this because we said we were going to do a Thanksgiving episode.
It's Mrs. Fields, by the way. I'm sorry. I just thought of it. It's not McFields.
Oh, okay. You're right. It's Mrs. Fields.
It was going to bug me. I was going to think about it. I wasn't going to listen to your answer. I was going to be thinking about those cookies. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, though.
I don't know as a child. I liked everything, but I don't remember anything really being my favorite except for like rolls, which are really, really boring, but I loved carbs and bread. Mm. I didn't love turkey. I like turkey better now.
Okay.
And we never had mashed potatoes. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, we did rice.
Had rice. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So that's all I could think
Why?
Of.
Why is that? That I didn't think it was weird until I got to be an adult and my ex-wife.
Why we had rice.
I used to be like, you know, we're going to be making Thanksgiving dinner. We're going to have this, this, and this. Yeah, okay, that sounds good. My family used to make this. Cool, make that. And then it would come to the carb and I'm like, and we're going to make rice. And then she'd be like, we're going to make mashed potatoes. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But we're also going to be making rice. Because to me, Thanksgiving was turkey, rice with gravy over those things. Yes, there were other things, of course.
Yeah.
But like those two things like went hand in hand, man. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's really weird. I'd actually like to hear from the listeners. Question of the day for the listeners. Did you eat rice with Thanksgiving? Is this weird? Are we the why did this happen? Why were we subjected to this? Why to this day, if I still ate turkey, would I eat turkey and rice? Tell me what's going on here.
Because like I was married to a man from Hawaii and they're very inspired by Asian culture. I was briefly.
Just kidding, go ahead.
But where did it come from in our family? Like, so rice for him was not weird at Thanksgiving, but I don't know where that came from. Like, why did we start that?
Yeah, I don't know. It is really weird because you think of Thanksgiving as being a American tradition. And I would think that America probably had potatoes in much more prevalence than they did rice, since that seems to be more of a Eastern thing. But
right,
you know, you think of turkey soup, like wild rice and turkey soup, like that seems like a normal thing. But I don't know, it just it blows my mind the more I think of it when I'm an adult. But there were many years as an adult where I had both rice and mashed potatoes.
Same. We did the same.
Yeah, just because, you know, you had to serve both families. I eventually got to the point when I still ate turkey where I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, the rice can go. We'll just do mashed potatoes because I'm a normal human being now.
Yeah, we just do potatoes now too. Yeah. So that's kind of funny.
Yeah, but I do think, I mean, there's probably a lot of stories like that where families just had those little one-off dishes that were weird. But I agree with you. If I have to say, it's maybe not necessarily my favorite dish from childhood, but it's a dish from childhood that I think is a lot different. Even though it's something simple, it was a lot different from what a lot of people probably experienced on Thanksgiving. But if you had to say your favorite dish, like the one you were like, I'm putting three times as much as this on my plate, what was that?
Then?
Yeah, back then when you were a child. Was it still rice?
I think it was the stuffing dressing, however you, because that's what it is now. And I remember really liking it then.
Man, too. You're already blowing the next category with your freaking spoilers.
I'm sorry. God damn. Well, let's switch back to childhood and what was yours? What was your favorite?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of that. And before I answer it fully, I will say that I did not like stuffing as a child.
Oh, okay.
It had to grow on me. That was one of the things where I remember being like, I'm not eating that shit. That's like mushy, wet bread. Like, what are you talking about? I don't want any of that.
Yeah.
But then I remember one Thanksgiving, and I was probably old enough to be embarrassed about this fact, but I was probably like 10 or something, where either you or mom or someone was like, just try it. It's really good. And I was like, okay, fine. And I tasted some, and I was like, oh, all right. Yeah. I see what you're doing there, Stefan. Okay. You nasty little secret I didn't know about. Okay. Give me some more of that. Let's put some gravy on you. Yeah. Okay.
With turkey. Yes.
Hell yeah. It's a bite of here's what I'm going to give you the answer of, even though it wasn't the answer like of a young child, but a bite of turkey, a bite of rice, a bite of stuffing, all with some gravy on it. Boom.
Yep.
That's the perfect Thanksgiving bite to me as a child once I realized the magic of stuffing.
I just see little David with like a light coming on and like, oh, you know, like you discovered the stuffing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then I was probably obsessed with it. I'm like, okay, you know what? I don't even want the rest of this shit. Just put a plate of stuffing, put some gravy on there. I'm good. I got to make up for lost time here. Got to make up.
Definitely.
All right. Well, you already blew the secret here of the next category, which is favorite dish now. So stuffing is still your favorite dish?
It is. And I am a like stovetop girl. I don't need anything fancy or homemade. I like it. Stovetop from the box. That's the best. One year we went to our grandma's nanny's. I don't know if you remember this. I believe you were there. And she made this like fancy homemade stuffing with oysters.
It was the worst thing ever. I just talked about this today. Go ahead though. Sorry.
It ruined Thanksgiving. Yeah. It wasn't Thanksgiving with oyster stuff.
Here's the thing. As an adult, I like oysters. Mm-hmm. I'll take a raw oyster, squeeze a little lemon juice, maybe just a little salt, slurp that bitch down, crunch a saltine behind it, whatever you want to do. I'm with you. But that I will not eat oyster stuffing. And that's the reason why. Because, just like, why do you want to put this like blood tasting mineral goop in my stuffing? That's not what I want.
Yeah.
I'm glad you told me the origin of the stuffing, because I was talking about oyster stuffing with Beth today, because her mom was talking about a shrimp stuffing recipe that she saw. And I was like, shrimp stuffing, that sounds good. You know, I don't eat turkey anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't eat meat anymore. I don't have sausage and stuff. So that actually sounds really good to me. And I can see how like mm-hmm. shrimp with like sage and some of those other flavors can kind of almost even seem sausagey. So I'm like, yeah, I kind of dig that. I get that. But then I was like, you know what? I've had oyster stuffing before and it's revolting. But I couldn't quite remember the origin of when I've had it a couple times, but that was definitely the first time I ever had it and mm-hmm. not good.
Yeah. Yeah. It legitimately ruined Thanksgiving dinner for me.
Yeah.
Because that is such a major part of it for me. So it's my favorite.
Yeah. I've actually been speaking very adamantly about this. Food is a very important thing to me. So if in the editing of this, I can't get rid of some of the bangs and bongs on my microphone boom or my microphone itself, just know it's because I'm being very passionate. That, and it's probably this blue crap I'm drinking right now. It's starting to hit
me.
Yes.
It's adding drama.
Yeah. All right. So what am I supposed to talk about now? My favorite dish now? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes. As an adult, is that where we're at?
Yeah, I think so. I think we actually bled into some other categories that we were already answered, yes. But we'll talk about that here in a minute. My favorite dish now, I am a dork for some potatoes. I mm-hmm. am a potato dork. Starch dork all the way. Carboholic, whatever you want to call me. So again, let's talk about the evolution of David. David as a Pokemon started as a rice boy, turned into a mashed potato boy, and now as an adult, he's an El Gratin boy. I've loved El Gratin potatoes for a long time, so it's not like a new thing, but it is the dish that I think I look forward to the most in Thanksgiving over the last couple of years. And Beth is going to introduce me to a recipe that she found years and years and years and years ago that she found again that she's going to make for just the two of us. One of the things that she's actually bringing to the dinner this time that I'm actually really excited for. So I'd have to answer El Gratin potatoes. It would be my favorite dish now. I feel really stupid asking this question. All of a sudden, I got kind of self-aware of what we're doing. But what are your thoughts on El Gratin potatoes, Erin?
Well, I make a cheesy potato, but I feel like that goes more with ham. So I don't know, with you not eating meat, maybe that's why that's your favorite dish now. Mm, mm. Would you say that? I just...
No.
Like you said, the perfect Thanksgiving bite being the rice, the stuffing, the turkey and gravy. That's me now with the potatoes. So
okay,
I don't think an El Gratin potato would cut it for me at this point.
Okay.
But I love it. I love that, like at Easter with ham.
Okay. Two thoughts came to my mind here. If I had to update the perfect Thanksgiving bite when I was still eating turkey, and actually I have a mm-hmm. fake turkey. I've got a tofurkey. And it's okay.
Right.
You know, it's not turkey, but it tastes like a turkey roll. Kind of, it's good mm-hmm. enough. I would say my perfect Thanksgiving bite now, minus the El Gratin potatoes, would be, or maybe the El Gratin potatoes or mashed potato, a potato, turkey, stuffing, and green beans, green bean casserole, preferably.
Ooh, okay.
That's the chef's kiss. Best this year, that will be the best bite I take of turkey this year. Or of Thanksgiving this year. But back to what you were talking about of El Gratin potatoes being more of a ham thing. No, I don't mm-hmm. think I correlate those two things, because while I do like a hot ham and cheese sandwich, I would have eaten the poop out of that back in the day. I don't like ham by itself that much. I was always disappointed. Like, if you're a family out there that does ham instead of turkey, I'm sorry, but you're Canadian. You're not American, or you're something. I don't know what the fuck you are, but you're not American. It's turkey.
I agree.
It's turkey.
Yeah.
It's turkey. I'm sorry.
It has to be turkey.
Sorry. Ham on Easter if you'd like, but come on.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I never really liked ham that much. So you're a ham lady? You're hammy?
Not really, no. I just think that like a cheesy or El Gratin potato goes better with ham than turkey.
Okay. It's funny that you brought that up, because that was actually a topic I was going to bring up, the ham versus turkey debate. But it sounds like you're pretty clear on one side of that debate.
Yes. And my family is split. So when it is Easter, we have to make usually a turkey breast and a ham.
Expensive ass motherfuckers. Just wanting it all.
Yep.
You want to talk shit about them for a little bit?
They're so demanding. Yeah.
It's Thanksgiving, Aaron. You were supposed to say no.
They don't do that on Thanksgiving. Okay. So I'll cut them some slack.
Okay. All right. Well, it's each their own, I do suppose.
True. True.
Well,
on that, I have to ask, when you ate turkey, did you eat fried turkey or did you roast it?
I have never had a deep fried turkey.
Okay. I've only had it once from a restaurant, so I've never prepared it that way myself. It seems dangerous.
Yes. I've seen enough YouTube videos of people losing layers of their flesh, like on their shins and thighs and arms and other places, to know that I want nothing to do with you and your deep fried turkey, person who has probably been drinking since like 8 a.m. because they feel like they're having holiday and end up in the hospital.
I agree.
Yeah.
I had to ask though.
Yeah, no, I've never, I mean, I am positive it's effing delicious. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure that deep fry anything, and you can deep fry toast and it's really good. But I don't think that that's something I want to witness.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like when other people put off fireworks. Like, I trust myself setting off fireworks, but I don't want to watch other people put off fireworks. Similar concept.
I'm confused.
You're confused about my parallel to fireworks?
Yeah.
Like,
you would not want to.
I don't trust people with fire and things that can explode.
Oh, gotcha. But you would trust yourself.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
and no, it's a bad parallel. You're right. I don't trust myself to put a turkey into boiling oil. So never mind. Bad parallel.
Yeah. Okay. That's why I was confused.
Yeah, you're right.
On the subject of drinking, but I don't want to change. I don't want to bring it up.
On the subject of drinking, are you calling me drunk?
No. Mm-hmm. No, you said if somebody's been drinking since 8 a.m. and then they put a turkey in a deep fryer.
Okay, I'm obviously getting a little defensive for a reason. By the way, this episode brought to you by Kartik Purple Special Blend.
Do you have any special drinks that you drink on holidays?
It's like you.
I have one I'm particularly excited about this year. Is why I'm asking.
It's like you saw my outline, because I did when I was writing my outline earlier. I did put in this exact question, so we can talk about that now.
Okay.
I was actually going to ask you what your favorite dessert was, and then I was going to make a joke that it's a cocktail for me. But we can go and go there. I have done some things, like a hot toddy. I think it's very appropriate for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I have made apple cider mimosas and been that asshole that starts drinking at 8 a.m. that should not deep fry a turkey. I have made bourbon infused hot chocolate. I've run the gamut. You know, I can tell you a story sometime. I'm still a little fresh for this story, but there was a point in my life where I did not see our family, but I saw my other limited family that is no longer in my life. And we would call it Drunksgiving.
Okay.
And so it kind of started off like drink with breakfast and have a big breakfast, drink with like pre Thanksgiving dinner appetizers, drink with dinner, drink with dessert, drink after dessert. You know, there was a culture that I existed in that was much more drinking than probably should ever be had, even on a holiday. So I would say in the past, you know, I would say a hot toddy is probably a really good Thanksgiving-y, Christmassy drink or a mulled wine or something along the lines of that. But I like a classic gin on the rocks or gin and tonic with like a really good high quality gin. And I know this sounds stupid, but the reason I like that around this time of year, especially if you do just a gin on the rocks, is because it does have that juniper and kind of piney taste to it. You kind of get like a kind of get a Christmas tree kind of feeling from it. And I really like that. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's probably my go-to around this year if I was going to have liquor. I don't really drink liquor that much anymore. But if I was going to, I'd say it'd be something like that.
Okay. Well, just the past couple of years, we've been having like wine with Thanksgiving, but I don't really like wine. We tried mead last year, but this year we got some, have you heard of Aperol?
Yes, absolutely. So one of my favorite cocktails, and I may even change my answer. One of my favorite cocktails is actually a Negroni, which uses Aperol.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, it uses Campari, which is like Aperol's like big brother, but go ahead.
Okay. I got stuff to make Aperol spritz for this year, which I'm excited about because I had never heard of Aperol until I started watching this one YouTuber, and she would go to Italy and always drink Aperol spritz. So I always wanted to try one. So we are going to make those this year, and I'm excited about that.
Well, back on my gin kick, look into, do you like gin?
Yes, and I just tried that recently too, like within the last year.
Look into a Negroni.
Okay.
Because it's Campari and gin and bitters and an orange twist. That's basically it. Which if you like Aperol, you'll like Campari. They're very similar. If you like gin,
okay,
why not pour that in there? It's good. It's probably my all-time favorite cocktail.
I'll have to try it. Does it have like an orange flavor?
Kind of.
Okay.
Kind of. It's kind of bitter. It's like a bitter gin, orangey. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's really good. I drink one right now, and I don't really even drink liquor anymore.
Yeah, I'll try it for sure.
Yep. All right. Well, I had to stop thinking about liquor for a second so I can remember where we are in our outline here.
Dessert? After?
This Kartik's special purple blend is really messing with my head here. Yep, we are on dessert. So, when you were a child, Aaron, what was your favorite Thanksgiving dessert?
Well, I hated pumpkin pie as a child, and that's all I remember really having as an option for Thanksgiving, other than maybe mom would make her famous sugar cookies once in a while.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Did she make those for Thanksgiving?
I remember them for Christmas myself.
Okay. So I probably just suffered as a child.
I think as a child, we didn't really, nothing stands out to me as a child. I think you're right. I think it was like your classic, like thick ass, brick of a pumpkin pie. Ooh, she probably had some freaking fruitcake around because she's nasty like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always remember being kind of disappointed in dessert at Thanksgiving. Unless we went to Uncle Mike and Aunt Laura's house and he would make that Nestle Toll House pie. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to say some kind of like Amish triple cream goat pie. I don't know. I tried. It didn't come.
Yeah, because it wasn't really pecan pie, but it wasn't.
Oh, there you go. So mom loves a pecan pie. So I almost guarantee you we had some pecan pie back in the day.
You're right.
Now, here's my coming of age story for pecan pie.
Okay.
Also a pie or a dessert that I did not think was, oh, you know what? I'm confusing this with my Creamhorn coming of age pie story. Okay. Obviously this podcast is over. I'm sorry. I've had too much of Kartik's purple special blend. I can no longer speak, but no, I am confusing it with my Creamhorn coming of age story. But, I do remember my pecan pie story is similar, because Mom had some pecan pie in some aluminum foil. I almost said silver foil, which is what we called it when we were kids. And people have made fun of me for years because of that. But we had it in some aluminum foil. And I think we were like waiting to leave a relative's house or something. And it had been long enough since I had eaten, or I didn't eat very much because I'm a kid and I'm running around and being an idiot instead. And I was so hungry, and Mom's like, well, here, we've got some pecan pie, just eat this. And I took a bite of it and it was kind of cold. I just remember being like, the hell is this? This is, there's a siren in the background. I don't know if you can hear that, but it really emulates my love for pecan pie, because at that moment in time, I fell in love with pecan pie. What I thought was a gooey, nasty mess. Is a caramely, nutty, crusty, delicious pastry. And I learned to grow from that and make things like chocolate bourbon pecan pie and things like that and grow upon it. And it is one of my favorite desserts to this day. Creamhorn story, very similar. I'll tell you in the future sometime. I'll tell you now. We were stuck in a car somewhere on a road trip, and I think our car broke down maybe, and I was starving. And some mom's like, here's a Creamhorn. It was in some silver foil. Yes, I said silver foil on purpose. It was in some silver foil. And she's like, here, eat this. And I'm like, no, I don't want this, whatever this is. And I ate it. And I'm like, what is this sweet, flaky, delectable, creamy, sweet really? Sensation?
I don't like those to this day.
No, you're wrong. I wouldn't eat. Honestly, I wouldn't eat one now because it would probably be like pure sugar, and I'd be like, ugh, this is kind of gross. Again.
Yeah.
But I went through a phase.
Well, I did hear that pecan pie is like the worst dessert for you to eat at Thanksgiving.
It's corn syrup.
Yeah. It's then so many calories.
You literally make it out of two kinds of corn syrup. So.
Oh, wow. See, I've never made one. Yeah. I never really liked it either. Maybe I would change my mind if I tried it now. But
yeah, my initial reaction as a child was right. It's sugar goop. But damn, if it can't be good sometimes. I haven't had a pecan pie in a while either, but whew, it ain't bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you eat dessert now?
Yeah, sugar. I still have a sweet tooth. Unfortunately, I try not to. Honestly, I'm overweight right now, and you know, I try to eat healthy. I don't eat meat. I do some other things. The meat is kind of a moral thing as well, but the things that really kill me are sugar, because of exactly what's got me in this situation right now, which is this drink I'm drinking. Pure sugar, and I really shouldn't do that. And I do like a sweet thing or two. That's true. What about
me
you?
Too. Yeah. Anything chocolate. A couple of my children, my oldest daughter really does love pumpkin pie. So she usually makes a pumpkin pie or something with pumpkin in it, but I will make like brownies or cookies, something like that. I haven't decided what for this year yet, so I need to decide that. But
oh, I thought you meant in general. You're bringing this back to Thanksgiving. Thank goodness you're here to keep us on track. this year we're going to make a cranberry cider sorbet.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. So it'll be a little bit lighter, but I mean, it's made out of juice. So, you know, there's still a lot of sugar there and stuff. Yeah. But that'll be cool. Yeah.
You got to have a little bit. You got to indulge a little on the holidays.
Yeah. For sure. And I mean, it's going to be the two of us. We'll make our little menu. We got a tofurkey with stuffing, and we'll make green bean casserole, and Gratin potatoes and yeast rolls. I know you said rolls earlier. I love rolls. You're not wrong on that.
Yes.
and we'll make a little dessert and stuff, and it'll be good. It'll be good. And but we'll eat on it for, you know, it's not like I won't eat a huge portion on Thanksgiving. I'll spread it out over a week probably.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going on 50 minutes, believe it or not. I thought this was going to be a short one. I always think that. And it never, ever is.
We can talk.
Yeah. Well.
A lot.
Yeah. Who did we get that from? Mom or dad?
Probably mom. Yep. I don't know.
I think mom, too. I think mom, too. Mm-hmm. Your dad will sit back and listen, and he'll have a dad joke here and there. But for the most part.
Right.
Yeah. Mom's going to be like, have you heard this latest hymn? Let me play it for you and then talk to you about God for an hour.
That's it. Exactly. Yes.
All right. So we got some questions about Thanksgiving. We got these at the final hour, by the way. I asked this probably about an hour and a half ago. Brandon, you may know him. Brandon Full. He's a judge on Clash of Fans. Mm-hmm. He asks, what was your favorite Thanksgiving craft when you were in school?
For some reason, when you said that, I got this like instant vision of my first grade classroom. So it had to be something there, but I don't remember what it was exactly. Probably like one of those hand turkey things that all kids did where you trace your hand and then color it like a turkey.
Is there another Thanksgiving craft?
Is there another Thanksgiving craft?
When you're in school, like, I think it's all hand turkeys.
You're right.
I vaguely remember doing like a cornucopia type of thing where like you get a cornucopia that you cut out and paste it on a piece of like construction paper, and then maybe you draw some fruit and stuff around it. But I that might just be some kind of weird fever dream as an adult that I'm just trying to invent into my childhood. I'm not totally sure about that.
No, I feel like every kid did one of those too in the 80s.
Yeah. But I mean, hand turkey.
I mean, you were younger than me, but.
Yeah. But I mean, hand turkey. You want one facing left? I got my right hand. You want one facing right? I got my left hand. The turkey facing left, maybe a little bit fluffier and have some weird abnormal shapes on his feathers that you're That's not used right. to, but you're still getting one facing the direction you want. Hand turkeys all day long.
And the very fancy ones had googly eyes and maybe glued feathers on the fingers too.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's some advanced hand turkey stuff right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't think of another Thanksgiving craft at all. So we're just going to move on from that question. Thank you, Brandon. maybe you can post something about your favorite Thanksgiving craft if you were craftier than us in school, but I'm thinking it's hand turkey, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
So, Brian, you may know her from Clash of Fans as a judge. Her name is Brian Garantes. She asks, what Thanksgiving dish did you pretend to like when you hated it growing up? I think you kind of answered this already, but I want to hear more specifically.
I don't think I pretended to like anything. I wasn't like that.
Yeah, me neither.
If I didn't like something, you knew it. Yeah.
I will tell you a story that's not necessarily Thanksgiving related, but it now has to do with something that is one of my favorite Thanksgiving dishes, which is green beans. I love green bean casserole. Yum, yum, eat it up. But when I was young, green beans were kind of a bane to my existence. So our nanny, our grandmother, was always very encouraging of eating vegetables, which thank you. I probably am as much of a vegetable eater today because of that woman. So thank you, ma'am. But she used to try to get me to eat green beans. So she'd just be like, just eat one. Just put it in your mouth and chew it up and swallow it. So I think you were there when this happened. But I put a green bean in my mouth and I tried to start eating it and swallow it. And I just like did this weird like wretch burp. Like my body like rejected the green bean. Like I was trying. I'm like, fine. I'm like, nom, 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 nom. And I was just like, bah. And everyone was like, oh, David's going to throw up. I didn't. I didn't, but I did had no control over it. My body just like rejected the green bean. And I was like, see, can't fucking do it.
Mm-hmm. And see, I never understood that because she and our father subscribed to you will learn to like it. And I was like, no, I won't. I don't like it. I'm not going to learn to like it. And same thing happened to me once when dad forced me to eat a tomato, except I actually did throw up. I threw up. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't making it up. I never understood that. And consequently, never force my children to eat anything they don't like. But I do encourage them to try things. But you know what's funny, though? I loved the way that Nanny made green beans. And I try to cook them like she did. So,
What'd she do? Like put a ham hock in it and shit?
I think she like cooked them all day and baked it or something.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron, we're going long, so I had a topic that I wanted to talk about. Did you have a topic you wanted to talk about?
I actually do, yes.
All right, let's hear yours first.
Well, when I was thinking about childhood Thanksgiving, I thought of the television specials that would be on in the 80s. And there are two in particular that I force my children to watch every year with me that I used to watch as a kid. And I wondered if you knew what they were.
One of them is going to be the Peanuts Thanksgiving special.
Yes, that's everyone's though.
So I will talk about that briefly.
Okay.
The Peanuts Thanksgiving special, the first half of it is awesome. They all come together. They make popcorn and like candy and stuff. And it's just a terrible little dinner with their friends that ends up being very special. And it's very cute. Then the second half is when you take a nap.
What's the second half?
The second half is when they like start talking about the pilgrims and the Indians and stuff, and it's very boring.
Oh, okay. Isn't that a separate episode or show, though?
They always seem to show it back to back. I don't know.
Yeah, that one stinks. I don't like that one at all.
So that is one of your two, though?
Yes. And, oh, do you want to guess the other one or you want me to tell you?
The other one is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
No, it's a cartoon. Like a kid-centered one.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the animated series.
No, the Garfield Thanksgiving special.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that for years.
Mm-hmm. You should watch it. It's amazing.
Okay. Maybe I'll watch it this year.
It just, I don't know, it invokes that, like, to me, I think there's a Thanksgiving spirit, much like the Christmas spirit, where it's just, like, warm and homey and comforting, and everybody's thankful and peaceful, and to me, that's the Garfield Thanksgiving special.
No, that's cool. I get it. I could see that. I mean, yeah. I'm not sure who used to voice Garfield. I know Bill Murray did in the movies or whatever, but... The voice of Garfield in and of itself is kind of like the voiceover Ambien of the world. It definitely will kind of get you calm. Yes. So I could see that for sure. Well, I was about to talk about some Christmas stuff that maybe we'll talk about closer to Christmas. But
okay.
That is kind of what you did kind of bring me to maybe the last question I'll ask you instead of my topic. My topic, by the way, I want to talk about The Good Place, NBC series that went to Netflix for its final series. Just finally watched the last episode last night. Beautiful thing. I'll talk about it in the future. Maybe you and I will talk about it. Go watch it if you haven't. For the meantime, that's my recommendation. Talking about warm and fuzzy and laughing and feeling good. This time of year, I think it's good for that. Go binge it all four seasons. Go do it tomorrow. But that was my question, is are you already feeling we're a little ways ahead of Thanksgiving, but you know, we're recording this for Thanksgiving. Are you a little or are you feeling already a sense of holiday spirits? I didn't feel it around Thanksgiving or around Halloween like I normally do. I think it's COVID related, those kind of things. Couldn't do as much. Didn't really do anything. But I'm trying to feel festive for Thanksgiving and get excited for Christmas, even though it's, you know, we're not going to be able to do as much as we normally do. Are you yourself feeling festive for Thanksgiving?
I wasn't until, when was it? Wednesday or Thursday, I went to the grocery store just to get a few things, but ended up buying stuff to make Thanksgiving dinner, including the turkey. And for some reason, that made me really happy and really excited. So yeah, I think I'm feeling festive and I'm ready for the holidays. I mean, it's definitely different this year and it's going to be just us, but you know, I think we can make that work and I think it'll still be good. Just different.
Good answer.
Are you, I mean, do you feel, is it COVID?
we'll make the best of it.
Right.
But not, kind of similar. I went out today and did a few errands and I could kind of feel it in the air. I could see people Christmas shopping, see people shopping for Thanksgiving and kind of felt it. Honestly, the most festive I've felt this year so far is when I'm like cleaning the kitchen at night and I'm listening to piano jazz, which is something I do a lot on my own anyway. But it started to take on a little more of that like Garaldi trio feeling, the Peanuts. Like, even though it wasn't, like, it was like, yeah, I could listen to that right now. The Vince Garaldi trio.
Yeah.
So I kind of started feeling that. And I think it's inevitable. I think you start thinking about it this time of year and you start looking for it. And I've seen it a little bit. And I think I'll feel festive by the time all things are said and done. And I just got to get in the mindset of buying some gifts for some people and, you know, doing the thing and we'll get there.
Right. I'm going to try to like super decorate for Christmas this year. And
I say that every year. I want to do that. Like I don't know. I'm not that person. I wish I was. I want to do it more. I want to celebrate every holiday. I want to be like, guess what? I'm the biggest fucking St. Patrick's Day bitch you've ever seen. Look at my green. But it never happens, you know?
We are related because I do the same thing.
Yeah. Well. All right. Well, I will talk about my topic next time for sure. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask you one final question. What are you thankful for? You know, it's like I can't sit at a table with you and ask you to pass me a roll while Mandy's answering this question, and you know you're up next and you got to answer next. So I'm going to ask you next.
That's true. Well, mine's going to sound very cliche and like a cop out, but I'm genuinely thankful for my husband, my kids, my family here, because especially about this time where everything's different. I think about people who don't have people living with them, and I would be insane without that. So I am genuinely thankful for them.
Mm.
They're my sanity right now.
It's not a bad answer.
You know, seriously, like without them, I wouldn't really want to celebrate the holiday. They'd just be like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, not a bad answer. My answer is I'm thankful for stability. It's something that I have underestimated in my life. It's something that I don't necessarily know that I'll have this time next year. But I'm feeling more positive about having a stable life and being able to move forward towards some bigger goals, that I have for myself. And, I won't belabor that point. It's stability.
Well, there's a lot to be said for stability. We could do a whole episode on that. We should sometime.
We should. That sounds like a good one. But well, Aaron, I will stop us here. And I will say I appreciate your conversation. You know what? In true Clash of Fans fashion, I will ask you, what are your closing thoughts?
You caught me off guard. That's my closing thought. No, this has been fun, and I've really missed doing this. I've missed having our one-on-one podcast. I've had a little too much to drink as well, but
yeah. Well,
no, we'll have to do this again. I think we should do a Christmas/holiday version too.
All right, here's what we do on Thanksgiving, okay, or on Christmas. Mm-hmm. I've obviously already had too much of that perp as well, but on Christmas we do a drinking game episode, and we ask each other either like trivia questions, or we have little challenges for one another, and we drink the whole time, and it gets worse than this.
I like that. We've got to do it. You know what we should do?
What?
Or maybe we shouldn't. Do like a Skype recording podcast. I don't know if you can even do that, if that's possible.
Oof.
So you can see us drink to make sure we're actually doing it.
I mean, I do live in Wheel Waxhaw, where the internet's not always great, but I could always do it via my phone. So we could absolutely do that. That actually sounds like fun. We could do that and do like a YouTube episode or something.
Yeah. We'll have to think about it. That does sound fun.
Right on. Sounds good to me. Well, until next time, do what makes you happy in moderation. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm not stopping my microphone because I don't want to mess things up.